Good morning, everybody. It is fantastic Friday, fabulous Friday, as our anchor would say. And this morning, I decided that it's important that we go over things that we've learned before, because every time you listen to something new or something for the first time, we only retain about 20-30% of it unless we're reading it along with the reader, and or unless we are seeing it and writing it down ourselves. Then our retention rate goes up substantially. A lot of people that I've been working with keep asking, Paul keeps mentioning the self-confidence formula, and what is that and where can I find it? And so I decided I'd go back over it, because just like with any tapes that you listen to or CDs or your MP3 players, it's important to hear things again and again and again, because each time we listen to stuff, we hear it in a different frame of mind, and different words trigger different reactions. And so I decided that I'd go back over the self-confidence formula for everybody, and then I'll unmute the lines if I can figure that out, and we can talk about it. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Those are our daily affirmations that hopefully we're reading and listening to morning and night. I also listen to them at noon, too. Third, I know through the principle of autosuggestion, bingo, I know through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. By the way, this self-confidence formula is at the very end of my affirmations on my recording, and so I hear it all the time, and I urge you to do the same, because this is very powerful stuff. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use, the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once or twice a day, with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. Back of this formula is the law of nature, which no man has yet been able to explain. It has baffled the scientists of all ages. The psychologists have named this law autosuggestion, and let it go at that. Autosuggestion. It's so powerful. I mean, we're technically auto-programmed all our young lives, and until we get involved in something like this, do we really realize our programming and how negative it's been, and how auto-suggestion through the reprogramming of our mind can really be phenomenal. The changes can be absolutely phenomenal. I'm already seeing it in myself, just by following what Paul has suggested that I do as well. The name by which one calls this law is of little importance. The important fact about it is it works for the glory and success of mankind if it is used constructively. On the other hand, if it is used destructively, it will destroy just as readily. Point in case. In this statement, and this statement may be found a very significant truth, namely that those that go down in defeat and end their lives in poverty, misery, and distress do so because of negative application of the principle of autosuggestion, autoprogramming. You know, I've learned from many leaders around me that a lot of them just do not have anything to do with the news anymore. They don't read newspapers. Although, you know, if you're an investor like I am, investing of monies made in the past, I have to keep abreast of situations to a certain degree. So news is important, but many people just toss the news and get rid of it altogether because of its negative overtones. The cause may be found in the fact that all impulses of thought have a tendency to clothe themselves in their physical equivalent. The subconscious mind, the chemical laboratory in which all thought impulses are combined and made ready for translation into physical reality, makes no distinction between constructive and destructive thought impulses. It works with the material we feed it through our thought impulses. The subconscious mind will translate into reality a thought driven by fear just as readily as it will translate into a reality a thought driven by courage or faith. The pages of medical history are rich with illustrations of cases of suggestive suicide. A man may commit suicide through negative suggestion just as effectively as by any other means. In a Midwestern city, a man by the name of Joseph Grant, the bank official, borrowed a large sum of the bank's money without the consent of the directors. He lost the money through gambling. One afternoon, the bank examiner came and began to check the accounts. Grant left the bank, took a room in a local hotel, and when they found him, 3 days later, he was lying in bed wailing and moaning, repeating over and over these words, "My God, this will kill me. I cannot stand this disgrace." In a short time, he was dead. The doctors pronounced the case one of mental suicide. Just as electricity will turn the wheels of industry and render useful service if used constructively, or snuff out life if wrongly used, so will the law of autosuggestion lead you to peace and prosperity, or down into the valley of misery, failure, and death, according to your degree of understanding and application of it. If you fill your mind with fear, doubt, and unbelief in your ability to connect with and use the forces of infinite intelligence, the law of autosuggestion will take the spirit of unbelief and use it as a pattern by which your subconscious mind will translate it into its physical equivalent. This statement is as true as the statement that 2 and 2 are 4. Like the wind which carries one ship east and another west, the law of autosuggestion will lift you up or pull you down, according to the way you set your sails of thought. The law of autosuggestion, through which any person may rise to altitudes of achievement which stagger the imagination, is well described in the following verse. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it is almost as certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out of the world we find, success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Observe the words which have been emphasized, and you will catch the deep meaning which the poet had in mind. Somewhere in your makeup, perhaps in the cells of your brain, there lies sleeping the seed of achievement, which, if aroused and put into action, would carry you to heights such as you may never have hoped to obtain. Just as a master musician may cause the most beautiful strains of music to pour forth from the strings of a violin, so may you arouse the genius which lies asleep in your brain and cause it to drive you upward to whatever goal you may wish to achieve. Abraham Lincoln was a failure at everything he tried. Until he was well past the age of 40, he was Mr. Nobody from nowhere until a great experience came into his life, aroused the sleeping genius within his heart and brain, and gave the world one of its really great men. That experience was mixed with the emotions of sorrow and love. It came to him through Anne Rutledge, the only woman whom he ever truly loved. It is a known fact that the emotion of love is closely akin to the state of mind known as faith. And this for the reason that love comes very near to translating one's thought impulses into their spiritual equivalent. During his work of research, the author discovered from the analysis of the life, work, and achievements of hundreds of men of outstanding accomplishment that there was the influence of a woman's love back of nearly every one of them. The emotion of love in the human heart and brain creates a favorable field of magnetic attraction, which causes an influx of the higher and finer vibrations which are afloat in the ether. If you wish evidence of the power of faith, study the achievements of men and women who have employed it. At the head of the list comes Nazarene. Christianity is the greatest single force which influences the mind of men. The basis of Christianity is faith, no matter how many people may have perverted it or misinterpreted the meaning of this great force, and no matter how many dogmas and creeds have been created in its name which do not reflect its tenets. The sum and substance of the teachings and the achievements of Christ, which may have been interpreted as miracles, were nothing more nor less than faith. If there are any such phenomena as miracles, they are produced only through the state of mind known as faith. Some teachers of religion and many who call themselves Christians neither understand nor practice faith. Let us consider the power of faith as it is now being demonstrated by a man who is well known to all civilization, Mahatma Gandhi of India. In this man, the world has one of the most outstanding examples known to civilization of the possibilities of faith. Gandhi wields more potential power than any man living at this time, and this despite the fact that he has none of the orthodox tools of power, such as money, battleships, soldiers, and materials of warfare. Gandhi has no money, he has no home, he does not own a suit of clothes, but he does have power. How does he come by that power? He created it out of his understanding of the principle of faith and through his ability to transplant that faith into the minds of 200 million people. Gandhi has accomplished through the influence of faith that which the strongest military power on earth could not and never will accomplish through soldiers and military equipment. He has accomplished the outstanding feat of influencing 200 million minds to coalesce and move in unison as a single mind. What other force on earth except faith could do as much? There will come a day when employees as well as employers will discover the possibilities of faith. That day is dawning. The whole world has had ample opportunity during the recent business depression to witness what the lack of faith will do to a business. Surely civilization has produced a sufficient number of intelligent human beings to make use of this great lesson which the depression has taught the world. During this depression, the world had evidence in abundance that widespread fear will paralyze the wheels of industry and business. Out of this experience will arise leaders in business and industry who will profit by the example which Gandhi has set for the world. And they will apply to business the same tactics which he has used in building the greatest following known in the history of the world. These leaders will come from the rank and file of the unknown men, who now labor in the steel plants, the coal mines, the automobile factories, and in the small towns and cities of America. Business is due for a reform. Make no mistake about this. The methods of the past, based upon economic combinations of force and fear, will be supplanted by the better principles of faith and cooperation. Men who labor will receive more than daily wages. They will receive dividends from the business, the same as those who supply the capital for business. But first, they must give more to their employers and stop this bickering and bargaining by force at the expense of the public. They must earn the right to dividends. Moreover, this is the most important thing of all. They will be led by leaders who will understand and apply the principles employed by this book. Only in this way may leaders get from their followers the spirit of full cooperation, which constitutes power in its highest and most enduring form. So I think I'm going to stop it right there. We could go on and on here, but I wanted to shorten this call today because I'm not feeling 100% either. But I did want to go back to what I began with the self-confidence formula, and just let people know where that ends, where that comes down to, because you should go back into the book. If you have the book, go back and copy, if you will, the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth paragraphs that I first read in the self-confidence formula, and add that to your affirmations list. And if you listen to that and reread it often enough, you'll start to do the things that it says in there. Now, let's see. One of my favorites in here is, I know through the principle of autosuggestion, any desire that I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. And the hardest thing I'm finding, the other day I picked up the phone to call perfect strangers, business leaders in my community, and I did it with a friend of mine. As he listened in, I called these people, and it was very difficult. Some people I'd call, and I already had a written lingo that I would talk to them about, and then other people I called, and these were mom-and-pop businesses. No way was I going to call a big corporation. And another business I called, this company called Patriot Fire Defense. Well, I used to be a volunteer fireman, and so I had something in common with them right away. So it created an icebreaker, and I started asking them about their business, and lo and behold, I got to know both, her name was Mindy and her husband Lanny. I got to know both of them, or mostly her, very, very well, and she even told me that she'd built a customer base of 3,000 people in just the or 3,000 accounts in just the last 2 years. And I thought, wow, I would really like to introduce them to what I'm doing. And we ended up, we got cut off because she was on a cell phone. So I called her back. I thought maybe she hung up on me at first. But then I called her back and she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I lost your call. And so that broke the ice again and we started talking and chatting. Well, we've been emailing back and forth and creating a relationship, creating a bond. And so the interesting thing was I had set myself up, knowing from my past of making cold calls, that usually you're lucky if you get through to 1 out of 20, and you're lucky if you get maybe 2 or 3 responses out of that 20 to respond, and then you're lucky if one even responds to what you're selling them. That day, my first 9 calls I made with a friend Jeff, and I had 3 responses out of 9. I had that very good response that I just told you about, and then I had 2 others as well, a real estate agent and a account executive for another company. And of those three now, they're now looking at the sites and we're communicating and so on. Then yesterday I made some more calls, and I believe I made 11 calls. Out of those 11 calls, again, I had three people that were very interested. And you'd be surprised, you know, I even spoke to the captain of the ship up in Cape Canaveral here in Florida. And at first he said, you know, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. And I should have said, oh, well, you don't have to stop doing what you're doing. This only, add maybe an hour or two a week of extra work. I didn't say it. I was flustered. And we said goodbye. And believe it or not, I was doing other things, and about, half an hour, 45 minutes later, Mark, the captain, calls me back of the 65-foot ship and says, how much time would I have to put into this? And bingo, and that created the conversation. So, you know, it's all about taking action. If you build your mindset up that, look, if you owned a business and somebody's calling you up and asking you all these questions and wants you to join a team and so on and so on, how would you respond? How would you feel? So you have to talk to people as if, you know, they're your best friend and say, listen, I'm not trying to get you into anything that's going to cause you problems. I'm looking for leaders that are outgoing, personable, and open-minded. And open-minded really worked well because at first I wasn't saying that, but once I added open-minded, and then I would ask, do you see yourself as being an open-minded person? And that pulled in a lot of people. I'd say a lot of people. It pulled in 3 out of 9 the first go-around, and then it pulled in 3 out of 11 the second go-around. So that's basically it. That's what I've been doing the past few days. And as I listened to my auto-suggestion this morning I did it. And I was actually going to play it on the call today, but I couldn't get my CD player up fast enough for the call. So I'm going to try and unmute the line now, so I'd like to hear from everybody. I believe it's *6, but wait till I unmute. Here we go. Okay, if you *6 your line, you can open up your line. I'd love to hear from somebody that wants to help me out on this call. *6. Come on, D, I know you're out there. *6, okay, it's not working, is it? Let me try this again here.
Hey, okay. Hey, Bill.
Okay, now that somebody's there, go ahead.
Bill?
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is Philip Stoker.
Hey, Phil.
From Twin Falls, Idaho.
Hey, Philip, welcome.
How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing fantastic, Philip. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. One thing that I want to say about auto-suggestion is, in the self-confidence formula, it tells us that I will demand of myself the development of self-confidence. And so
right. One
thing that's very valuable for to have success in anything is to have confidence in yourself. And so if you
exactly.
have confidence in yourself, you're able to achieve things that normally you wouldn't be able to. And as you tell yourself that day in and day out, you're able to develop that kind of confidence in yourself. So that's just my thought.
Oh, I agree, Philip. Philip, do you have a recorded affirmation statement?
No, not really. I pretty much have the self-confidence formula memorized, and I just repeat it to myself every day.
Okay.
Basically what I do.
Is that what you do?
Yeah.
How about anybody else? Anybody else on the call want to speak up? We're getting some feedback there, so if you could mute your line if you're not speaking, I'd appreciate it.
Be muted, honey. Anybody else want to speak up?
Hi, Bill. It's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
The self-confidence formula is so powerful, but you know, when I recorded it and I heard my voice in my own actual voice, it seemed to bring another different level to me. And I noticed as I started, you know, I started reading, when I recorded it, I started reading it, and by the time I got done, especially even with my affirmations, there was so much power in my voice, it amazed me. And so I am so thankful to Paul and to you guys that you suggested to record it and listen back to it.
Well, thank you so much, Linda, because it has literally changed my life. It really has, you guys. I mean, I used to approach life with a mission statement, and my mission statement is what freed me from my comfort zone and made me do the work that was necessary to accomplish the things I was looking to accomplish. But ever since I've been doing auto-suggestion and using the affirmations that Paul and I created, oh, my God, my life has completely turned around. So, yeah, I had a bad day yesterday. I didn't feel well. I thought I was coming down with something. And I listened to my affirmation statement yesterday a few times just to put good thoughts into my head and to reprogram my mind. So, absolutely, Linda, I love you for that. And keep on doing it, because when you listen to your own voice, it makes you realize that, hey, this is really me. I'm going to do this. So, yeah, fantastic, Linda. Anybody else? Anybody else going once? Going twice?
Yes, good morning.
Anybody?
Rick Martin, California.
Hey, Rick.
Yes, you did a fantastic job this morning as the co-host. Wonderful.
Well, I appreciate that, Rick. It's a little hard without my co-anchor. We are a team, and in a team together, everyone achieves more. But I do understand when you're not feeling well, you got to take over the call. Paul's a good guy. But he's human too, people. He does break down and get sick from time to time. So anybody else want to say anything on the call this morning?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Very briefly, I'm sorry, but I was a few minutes late getting on the call, and I missed the very beginning when you were talking about recording the affirmation. So which affirmations do you get them out of thinking for Rich or your own?
Well, the affirmations are my own. People, we're getting some feedback. If you can mute your lines, I'd appreciate it while this gentleman is speaking. Hit star 6 and you'll mute your line. Okay, that's a little bit better. If you want to see...
Bill? Hello? Bill?
Hello? Can anybody hear me still?
Did we lose Bill? I can hear.
That was nice. Yeah, hi, everybody. I'm back. I don't know what happened to the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I just wanted to apologize for that. I have no idea what went down. Did everybody get a loud ringtone in their ears?
Well, I did. Listen, I just wanted to end the call today with something that's very powerful to me. I know I was answering about affirmations, but if you go to the Facebook page, We Are Think and Grow Rich, you will find the affirmations that Paul and I say morning and night to ourselves on the Think and Grow Rich Facebook page. That's We Are Think and Grow Rich. I'll leave you with this, guys. You are the designer of your destiny. You are the author of your own life. You write your story. Every day you have a blank page to fill in. The pen is in your hand, and the outcome is whatever you choose. So who will you be today? Where will you go? Who will you meet? And what great things will you accomplish? Dare to dream. Since we're having problems on the call this morning, I'm not going to open it back up. I hope everybody has a super terrific, fantastic weekend. Enjoy the snow up there in Rochester, New York. I love you all. Thanks for joining me on this call this morning and helping me out on this call. I really appreciate it. God bless everybody. Have a great, great, great weekend. Make it a great weekend. Remember, have a terrific day. Remember, you have the power to make it that way. It's not the mountains we move, it's ourselves. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.